From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, Don Huffines is challenging Greg Abbott for the Republican nomination for governor by going after his right flank. We hear his ideas for Texas, including flooding the border with military.
This is an invasion, unarguably an invasion.
Where were you when the lights went out in Texas? A podcast explains the failure of the grid and what will it take to keep it lit.
I still feel really traumatized by what happened.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. There is a race on for the Republican nomination for governor. Incumbent Greg Abbott is being challenged by former state senator and businessman Don Huffines and former Texas GOP chair and QAnon supporter Alan West. Abbott is taking these opponents seriously, and he's working to build up in areas where he's vulnerable to right-wing criticism, which includes appeals to COVID-19 truthers who are opposed to government intervention in slowing the spread of the virus, and turning the border into a convenient crisis with troop buildups and border wall construction. In his 25 years in statewide politics, Abbott has never lost a Republican primary, but he's never really had a strong primary challenger. Abbott also has a campaign war chest of over $55 million, the largest for any statewide candidate in Texas history. That doesn't seem to bother Huffines, who announced in May that he was challenging Abbott. I spoke to Huffines about the issues that he thinks will attract Republican primary voters. It's important to remember that these candidates are working to appeal to a specific subset of the population, which is the hard right wing, which makes up the GOP primary voting base. In the interview, Huffines uses offensive terms for people who are in the country without authorization, and he makes claims about the November election, which are not true.
I'm running because I, like most Republicans in Texas, we're tired of career politicians. We're tired of the broken and empty promises. We're tired of being lied to. And for us, it's that simple. Yeah, look at the issues. Is the border secure? Are our property taxes going down? Do we have confidence in our elections? Do we have term limits? And the answer to all that, of course, is no, no, no. And I can keep on going down the list. I served in Austin. I saw what happens when we don't have proper leadership from our governor. Everything starts at the top. And that's what my campaign's about. It's about courageous leadership and no excuses. Look, I don't need the job. I'm doing it because the job's not getting done. When I say that, I mean it, because in Austin, according to the Secretary of the Senate, I was the only elected office holder in the history of Texas, and we've got a long history out there, and never took a penny from the state of Texas. No pay, pension, health care, reimbursement, travel vouchers, nothing. And that's the same way I'm going to be as governor. I'm never going to take a penny from the state of Texas. And so it's important. I'm a business guy. I have a different way of seeing how to solve the issues. I'm committed to solving the issues affecting Texas. If we make a mistake, I'll be accountable, own up to it, and learn from it, and move on. I'll be the first businessman to sit in that chair since 1982.
Let me ask you about this race we had this week, Texas 6th Congressional District. A lot of people were kind of surprised by the outcome, with Representative Elsley becoming the winner in that over Susan Wright. What is your takeaway from that, particularly seeing how that Susan Wright had the endorsement of former President Donald Trump?
Well, it was a little bit surprising, but I do think it shows that, according to the common thought is with the media that Trump's endorsements are golden and everything's about Trump's endorsements and whoever he endorses is automatically going to win. And that's just not the case. Obviously, it wasn't the case in this race. And it hasn't been the case in a lot of races that he's endorsed in. Look, Republican primary voters are smart, very smart. And I trust them to make the best decision. And they understand in my race that Abbott is a failed administration. They understand that, and that's why I'm going to win.
Former President Trump has endorsed Greg Abbott for his reelection. It sounds like you're saying that Texas voters, Republican voters, are going to look at that, but they're also going to look deeper.
Absolutely, they will. Of course they will. They're not going to just fall in line behind Trump's endorsement. Look, the border, my border plan, I'm the only candidate and probably the only person in Texas that's going to make a difference that has a great border plan, a clear, defined plan that's going to secure the border. And I can just walk you through that real fast. You know, right now, Border Patrol feels like, and I'll be going back down there, by the way, next week. It's been my fourth trip down there since May the 12th. And Border Patrol is projecting about 2 million illegals to come into Texas in a 12-month period. These, almost all of these, are paying the cartels to come in. These cartels in Mexico are the most violent, dangerous criminal organizations on earth. They're much worse than Al-Qaeda. The videos and things I've seen, I recommend no one watch them. It's sex trafficking, it's human trafficking, it's every murder, rape, you name it, they're doing it. And they're bringing all that poison into Texas. And also, look, this is an invasion, unarguably an invasion. I'm going to enact Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution, which clearly gives the states the authority to defend themselves from an invasion. And I'm going to engage the entire Texas military, all 20,000 brave men and women, and we're going to secure the border with the military, and we're going to enforce immigration law. I'm going to close all 25 crossings over the river to all inbound commercial traffic from Mexico. That's simple, because that is going to put the pressure on Mexico, the economic pressure on Mexico, to secure their side of the river. I'm going to prove to them that they need us more than we need them. And the most important thing is, I'm not asking permission from the federal government to secure the Texas border. This is our border. We clearly have the authority to enforce immigration law. We clearly have the authority to defend our border. And that's what we're going to do. In addition to that, of course, I'm going to finish the wall and build a wall, whether it's Trump's wall or Texas wall. And I'm not building it just over 5 miles. I'm going to build it on several hundred miles, wherever it's needed. I'm a business guy. And I think it's going to cost billions of dollars, but I think that's a good buy. I really do. And I tell you this, I'm going to enact legislation with the legislature to make sure we have E-Verify across the state, a strong E-Verify system, and we're going to stop the magnets that attract illegals here. I don't know if you know this, but Border Patrol told me that since the beginning of the year, they've captured illegals from 120 different countries. Just about half the countries, more than half the countries on earth, are pouring in to the state of Texas. And we spend billions of dollars on illegals every year. I'm never going to ask permission to secure the Texas border.
Just a quick follow-up about the shutting down of trade with Mexico, closing all the bridges along the Texas-Mexico border. The number one trading partner that Texas has is with Mexico, and that we have a lot of jobs in Texas that depend upon the free flow of trade along the border. What would happen to those jobs?
That's a very good question, and we certainly do. What we're showing is about $250 billion worth of trade with Mexico annually. What I'm talking about is shutting off commercial traffic inbound. Outbound traffic would continue, and anyone that had their proper papers could continue. And maybe we adjust it so that produce and things like that could spoil, can maybe come in. But this, look, when you have cancer, chemotherapy hurts too. But we're going to get this solved. I'm the actual Republican that's going to actually do something. I'm going to do in 30 days what no one's done in 30 years. Yeah, it's not going to be pleasant, but I think Mexico will back down. Because they want to make money. There's a lot of rich people in Mexico, and they love making money. Let me tell you, this is drastic steps, but these are drastic times because this is an invasion. If Greg Abbott wanted to secure that border, he could have done it 6 years ago, 6 months ago, or 6 days ago. Greg Abbott's never going to secure the border. The federal government's never going to secure the border, ever. We're never going to have a secure border. And that's why if you think that's important for the United States or for the state of Texas, This is the most important election in the United States in 22, the primary for governor of Texas. Because the only chance we have of securing that border is with a courageous governor of Texas. And I'm telling you what I'm going to do. And that is what it's going to happen. I think history could show that this could be one of the most important elections in the history of our country. And look, Biden's already come out and said this is a premeditated attack on Texas. I believe that. I don't think there's any question about that. And Biden's already come out and said that he's going to give amnesty to all the illegals in the United States of America. And with a pathway to citizenship or immediate citizenship. And for the Republican Party, that's a bad idea. And it's not 11 million that illegals in the United States. It's more like 30 million illegals or more in the United States of America. So this is a very important issue for the Republican primary voters, of course, and for all voters.
Don Huffines, former Texas state senator, running for the Republican nomination for Texas governor against the incumbent, Greg Abbott. Also, we have Alan West, the former chair of the Republican Party of Texas, in that race as well. How do you distinguish yourself for voters shopping around to an alternative to Greg Abbott? How do you distinguish yourself with Alan West?
Well, look, I've got the solutions to the issues, and like I said, I've got the courage to implement them. I've served in the legislature. I know the tools in the toolbox the governor needs to get legislation done. I'm familiar with Austin. I mean, just my property tax plan, I've been working on it for months. We've got a lot of spreadsheets, Excel spreadsheets, and I'm going to phase out property taxes entirely. This is a math problem, a math and political problem. It's very doable. And it might take 8 years, it might take 10 years. But the new numbers we just got in 2 weeks ago, and I've been working on it, I think we can get it all done in 8 years. And the good news is I'm going to have a constitutional amendment so every voter in Texas can weigh in on it, because I want to cut the head off that property tax, the snake, or the property tax snake, and so it won't ever grow back. And I just ask everybody to imagine, just imagine what you could do with that money if you didn't have to pay your property tax. Texans are tired of renting their homes from the government, and the rent just keeps going up and up every year. It's not just their homes, it's all real estate in Texas is essentially owned by the government. I know it's kind of hard to you. What does that mean, Huffines? Well, what it means is they've got a first lien on everything. And if you don't pay it, they're going to come get it. And it's ahead of everything else. And this is going to create incredible economic wealth, incredible prosperity for the state of Texas. And it's very doable. And the best way we're going to do it is limit state spending, cap state spending, like at 2%. 2.5% increase every year. Our revenues go up at 7% every year. And then we're going to take that revenue growth and buy down property tax and move some over to sales tax. We'll keep everybody fully funded. All the political subdivisions, the school districts, everything will be fully funded as they are. And that'll be up to the legislature. I'll keep calling them back till they come up with a plan that everybody can vote on it. David, I keep hearing is, well, every state's got property tax. And, you know, we looked it up. Almost every country in the world has property tax. And that makes me very excited. I say, yes, finally, Texas is going to be the leader in something. We're going to get our swagger back in the state of Texas. We're going to be the tip of the spear for economic liberty, our personal liberty. We're going to make sure that people can actually own their own home.
You mentioned sales tax. So will sales tax be going up to compensate and to fund the government?
Yes, sir. It will.
How much?
But not that much. It really depends on the plan that gets finalized by the legislature and my office. But it's very doable. It's not that painful. We're not planning on proposing to increase the base of the sales tax. In other words, if you're paying it today, you continue to pay it and not move it to other different businesses.
You have called for a comprehensive forensic audit of major counties' election results from November 2020. What are you looking for?
What I'm looking for is confidence in our elections. Right now, millions of Texans don't have confidence in the elections. They think there could be cheating. They think their votes might be miscounted or stolen. And let me just say this. There's been cheating in elections since there's ever been an election. I mean, the cavemen probably cheated in elections. There's never been a law that men didn't break. This is a nonpartisan issue. And I often hear that the Democrats say we're suppressing, voter suppression and things like that. Well, I tell you what voter suppression is. It's when millions of Texans don't think their vote's being counted properly, so they don't bother to vote. I hear that wherever I go across the state of Texas. Well, why am I going to go vote, Huff Hines? It doesn't matter anymore. Our votes aren't being counted. So, of course, I'm for the forensic audit. It's also one of my main campaign platforms. I've got a great policy and plan to make sure people have confidence in the system. Having confidence in our elections is the foundation of a constitutional republic. And you don't want that foundation to break because then all hell is going to break loose. And an audit, to me, is just common sense. I'm the business guy. Really? Anybody who's scared of an audit makes me very nervous. Very nervous. If people push back on an audit, I go, well, wait a minute. What do you not want an audit for? What are you hiding? What are you scared of? If everything's great, then call for the audit.
Well, there's audits and then there's fraudits, wacky audits like the one in Arizona.
Look, to me, if it's we can get together on that. Everybody should be able to get together. Maybe it's a complete third party audit. I mean, there's a lot of great companies out there that make their living doing this, but it needs to be comprehensive. It needs to be a software audit. It needs to be election fraud and voter fraud audit. It needs to make sure that everybody feels like that every rock was turned over and that everyone's got confidence. There's nothing hiding. Nobody's hiding anything. And that's what an audit's about. We don't want it to find out if anyone's hiding anything and to give everyone confidence that the numbers are correct.
You've been endorsed by Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. He says that you and him see eye to eye on a number of issues, including criticisms against Dr. Anthony Fauci. Can you talk about that?
I mean, the catalyst for me to get into the race was when Governor Abbott shredded our Constitution that he swore an allegiance to uphold. Nothing in the Constitution gives him the authority to pick winners and losers. In one week, this is the course March of 20, he destroyed 3 million Texan jobs. He put over 3 million Texans on the unemployment line and depended on the government. Tens of thousands of businesses were gone, just gone. He didn't care how long we'd worked in those jobs. He didn't care how many sacrifices people made in the businesses generationally. He just destroyed them. And it was supposed to be for 2 weeks. It was supposed to be for 3 weeks. And then it just goes on and on. And he's listening to the know-it-alls and all the elitists in Washington or New York that thought they knew everything. And it turns out, just like I said it would, that they're liars. They lied about the origins of the virus. They lied about the cure to the virus. They were lying continuously. And then Greg Abbott shut our churches down. Clear violation of the Constitution. He shut them down on the holiest week of the year, Easter. You couldn't properly get married or bury the dead or get baptized. You couldn't visit the sick. I think the ramifications of this whole process are going to come be unfolded in the future, and they're going to be horrendous, whether it's suicide, drug overdoses. I mean, you just go down the list. I would have never done that because it's clear the Constitution doesn't give me the authority to pick winners and losers. Who's got the best lobbyist in Austin and all that stuff that goes into it, the food trough down there. And that swamp in Austin's very deep. Might not be as wide as Washington, but it's certainly just as deep.
So here we are with the surge of COVID with this Delta variant. What do you think should be done to deal with public health, public safety?
Well, I think we can educate people if we can believe the people that are giving us the information. I think the role of the governor is to get everybody as much information from every source possible and not to be censored in the sources. And let everybody have their own medical condition. This is between you and your doctor. It's not between you and the government. I'll tell you this. A true patriot never blindly follows government. a true patriot questions government, because the government is the people. And so I think that this new variant, look, this is about between you and your doctor. It's not between the government. I would never issue a mask mandate. I would never issue a vaccine mandate. And I've talked and visited many people who have a lot of trouble with the vaccine.
Don Huffines is running for the Republican nomination for Texas governor. Also on the ballot will be incumbent Greg Abbott and former Texas Republican Party chair Alan West. One point to set straight. Huffines claimed millions of Texans believe that there was widespread fraud, and that's the rationale for him calling for an election audit of the results from the largest counties in Texas. But actually, the vast majority of Texans do believe that the November election was fair and untainted by voter fraud. That's the finding of a Texas Tribune UT poll conducted in June of this year. The issue that many in Texas would like to see addressed is the grid. The electrical system failed in February during a record-breaking winter storm. So what really happened during the worst power failure in Texas history? What can be done to fix it? And how much is this going to cost you? KUT Austin energy reporter Mose Bushell did the digging, and he comes up with answers. He lays it out in the podcast called The Disconnect: Power, Politics, and the Texas Blackout. I spoke with Mose about what happened during the power failure.
The main big question is, like, how much of this failure, this big crisis that we lived through, was actually kind of foretold in the design of our state grid? I mean, this is a history podcast to some extent. And so it starts at the beginning and kind of explains how we got the energy system we got, and then takes that background and applies it to what we all went through in February. I mean, during the blackout, even before it was over, we were hearing from listeners, we were hearing from neighbors, we were hearing from people all over Texas that had so many questions. And we tried to get to as many of them as we could in this project. I mean, here's just a little tape of what people were saying.
Early Monday morning at 2 a.m., our power went out. I knew immediately because we have a six-month-old and all of his sound machines stopped. I woke up and I knew it wasn't going to be good. I just had a feeling.
I built a blanket fort in the bedroom using down comforters and quilts I have not used in 28 years. And taking an idea from a terracotta pot candle furnace I saw posted on social media, I MacGyvered a combination of prayer candles featuring Sir Elton John and Tom Brady, a hurricane lamp, and a few smaller candles under an inverted stainless steel pasta strainer, which warmed up and provided radiant heat in my bedroom.
It's hard to find firewood now. No gas stations around for miles because they're all, and nobody has power. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I just don't understand why this happened back in 2011 and they haven't like fixed it or prepared enough. And they knew this was going to happen. You know, they knew it was going to get this cold and the power generators were going to kick off. Nobody was prepared. Nobody was told. I mean, this is just terrible.
So when people are asking questions like these and having this experience, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, it is a bad sign. I mean, I think that a lot of people took certain things about this state for granted, including the idea that the lights were going to come on when they flipped the switch, right? And this was a really unfortunate crash course for a lot of people in how that's not the case, how our system is not as stable as I think a lot of people assumed. And now that we understand this, we're confronted with all this news about what our state leaders are doing, what various industries are doing, how we should try to correct this, and it can seem really overwhelming. And so another thing I'm really hoping that we're accomplishing in telling these stories is to equip people, you know, with the kind of the knowledge to understand what's going on, understand what people are talking about, and then also act, you know. I mean, like, I think when you're affected this personally by something, you probably have your own opinions and your own ideas about what should be done. And so hopefully this is not just something that will educate people, but it will also kind of allow them to have their voices heard, I guess.
So people, basically, we want to just be able to flip a switch and the lights turn on and we say, wow, that's great. That's magic. I don't want to know all the stuff going behind the scenes to make this happen. But actually, now we're in a position where people are saying, I want accountability. I want to know why I sat in the cold for so long, why so many people in Texas died in February, and why that was completely unnecessary. And as you pull back the curtain, we're able to see that this is a system that has its tentacles in almost every aspect of Texas, the economy, the politics, the environment, and our quality of life.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to remember that can be tricky to wrap your head around initially is that the grid is a physical thing. I mean, it transports electrons all over the state, but it is also in Texas set up as a competitive market. And so there are massive financial interests at play, every day in the buying and selling of energy on the grid. And it's become financialized to the extent that it really is, it's like, it's not as though everybody is producing electricity or everybody is consuming electricity. These are essentially contracts that are bought and sold. And again, I don't think most people understood that until after the blackout. And there were two, we're working on one of these episodes right now, which deals with the fallout. And there were two things going on after we came out of this mess. There was the financial wreckage that was left by this catastrophe. And then there was also, of course, the physical, the infrastructural, and the emotional, trauma and wreckage that we all went through. So one question, how do you make the grid more resilient? Because we're expecting more and more extreme weather. We're seeing more and more extreme weather. This isn't something future tense. And two, how did our state leaders react to this financial fallout? I think there are still a lot of questions about the billions of dollars of wealth transfer that took place during this crisis, and who's going to end up paying for it for decades to come.
You mentioned the trauma that we went through. Every time we may get a notice on our cell phones, or we see that ERCOT is asking people to conserve power because peak demands today, and we're going to see a lot of those over the summer, people, they're triggered.
When I've described what this project is to friends and coworkers and whoever, I've heard time and time again people saying, I still feel really traumatized by what happened. And I'm not sure if there's been like a full kind of articulation of how terrifying and devastating that this experience was, even for those of us who were relatively lucky. My house lost power, but we did just fine. We didn't even have any pipes burst. But even for people who maybe didn't lose power, I mean, just going through that week was really, really something. And we hope to kind of give voice to that, I guess, hopefully not using a cliche there, but we're working on an episode right now that goes through the blackout itself. It's been very hard for me to listen to that tape, but hopefully I think there's a benefit to sharing those stories and recognizing that.
Mose Bouchel is a reporter for KUT Austin. He has a podcast called The Disconnect, Power, Politics, and the Texas Blackout. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You could also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's where you can find past episodes of Texas Matters, and you can find us wherever you download your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.